Amen. Say the Lord is good.
He is good.
Amen. And we're glad if you're watching with us online. You've got about 25 minutes to watch us for the Braves start their delayed rain game, so hang in there. No. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Good things. Are you ready? I'm ready to get started. Praise God. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Not a regular game, you understand, if you're not a baseball fan, it's the playoffs. But I am so excited about some things tonight. Psalms 103, verse number 1, very familiar with this, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Well, if the first part of that scripture is true, then the second part is true. Amen. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Well, thank God. Verse number 3 says, He forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. Glory to God. Of course, this is just one scripture, but we're told that throughout the Bible. To not know that, really it's amazing when you think about it, to not know that or not believe that, you really just have to ignore and explain away most of the Bible, you know, every other page of the Bible. But thank God for that. Thank God for that. We love that scripture. He forgives all our iniquities and He heals all our diseases. Amen. But that's not all this psalm says, as it specifically encourages us to forget not all His benefits. Verse 4, I want to call your attention particularly to that. It says, He redeems your life from destruction. Well, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that the thief does, the devil does, would be destruction in your life. And He redeems your life from destruction. And the word redeem there specifically, and maybe better, is translated as He saves. He saves or delivers our life from destruction or from anything that would cause destruction in our lives, spirit, soul, and body. So God saves or redeems us from destruction here in our earthly lives. Amen? Well, we know that in the New Testament, Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, anything that was under the curse of the law, and whether it was mental, emotional, financial, being defeated by your... anything that was under the curse of the law would cause some sort of destruction in your life. Isn't that right? So Christ has redeemed us. He saved us. He's delivered us from things that would hurt us or destroy us or cause us harm or defeat us physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, in our jobs, in our work, in our families, in our homes, and so on. Amen. But at the same time, so you know, the Word of God says... He saves you. He redeems you. Not the only place, but He redeems your life from destruction. But have you ever experienced any destruction in your life? Do you know Christians that have experienced some destruction in their life? Well, a couple of things here. First of all, you know, we realize that we do have an enemy that attempts to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that Jesus Himself said, in this world you will have tests and trials and tribulations. And, you know, He said we could speak to mountains and cause them to be cast into the sea. Well, mountains, that's Mark 11:23, you know, mountains represent problems and trials and obstacles. So at times we do all face trials. There's many scriptures along those lines. You know that. Praise God. But we can have victory over them and not be hurt or not be defeated by them. You know, if Jesus didn't want the mountain removed, then why'd He tell us to speak to it and tell it to be removed? But we do face them. We do face them. But I understand sometimes people are, but we do not have to be defeated by the tests and trials that we face in life. Yet many times Christians do experience destruction to one degree or another. One reason, not the only reason, but one reason Christians are defeated by tests and trials is because they simply don't know what the Word says. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, the Bible says. Many don't even know that they don't know. Amen. But they don't know what the Word says. They don't know what belongs to them. And even if they do know what belongs to them, they don't know how to appropriate by faith what rightfully belongs to them. So you have to know what belongs to you, and you have to know how to take it. You have to know how to appropriate it by faith. So they suffer destruction or harm because of a lack of knowledge. And even people who know the truth, even people who know the truth about faith and about the authority of the believer and about their victory and authority over the devil, amen, and they know who they are in Christ, glory to God, sometimes these people fail or fall or experience a temporary setback, but thank God they don't stay down. I said, thank God people like that usually don't stay down. But because they don't stay down and because they don't give up on their faith, they get back up and they overcome. Thank God for that. Amen. So thank God for the word, first and foremost. We won't walk in much victory if we don't know and believe and confess and act on the word of God. The blessings of God are not automatically ours. You know that. We have to appropriate by faith what God gives. Grace is received by faith. Amen. And if we don't receive it, it never becomes ours. Doesn't mean it's not God's will for us to have it. It means that we didn't appropriate what God was trying to give us. And you know that. So being saved or redeemed from any kind of destruction in our earthly lives, belongs to us. But again, as always, we have to receive by faith what belongs to us. And if we don't receive it, it'll never be ours. People are going to spend all eternity in hell, even though salvation belonged to them, because they did not receive what Jesus... There's nothing else Jesus could do. It was a matter up to them to receive it by faith. Amen. But now, with that background, listen to and think about these things carefully that we're going to say over the next 30 minutes or so here. In order for us to be saved or redeemed from destruction and not experience any of the curse that Jesus did redeem us from, yes, we must know the word, and yes, we must operate in faith, but listen, God has also given us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to separate us from, to deliver us from, to keep us safe from, and to help us overcome any of those things that would try to injure us or hurt us or cause destruction in our lives. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? In other words, a part of avoiding... How many of you want to avoid destruction? A part of... you're not going to avoid destruction if you don't know the word, if you don't walk in faith. But another aspect or another part of avoiding destruction and walking in victory has to do with following to and listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying His promptings and His inner warnings and His leadings. Can you say amen? Here's something from Kenneth Hagin that's extremely interesting. Listen to this. We thank God for giving us His holy written word. Well, you know, He's noted as being a word man. He's noted for the founder of word churches or word of faith churches. Thank God for the word. But you ever stop to think that most of the last 2,000 years, Christians did not have the word to read? I mean, the printing press only came out, you know. And then, you know, it took another 150 years for it to just sort of get out. Did you ever stop to think that most of the last 2,000 years, Christians didn't have the Word of God to read? The letters written by Paul were read aloud to them at gatherings. You know, they couldn't take it home with them. They didn't have anything to take home with them, he says. There was no printing presses. They had to depend more upon the Spirit of God than we do. Think about that. Today, thank God we have the written word. Because we have it, we ought to be much further advanced spiritually than our brothers and sisters in Christ were through the centuries. But if we're not careful, dear friend, we'll focus exclusively on the Word of God and overlook the promptings of the Spirit. It's entirely possible to forget about the Spirit of God who dwells within us and just have a head knowledge of the Bible. Remember this, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit in order to walk in life. We'll say life would be the opposite of things that to destruction, in other words. Amen. Glory to God. God said of the new birth through Ezekiel's prophecy, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. In other words, God said, my Spirit within you will cause you to walk in and keep my word. Glory to God. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Now, we probably all had this experience in life, more than one time probably, where you were dealing with something, you were facing something, maybe it was concerning your job, maybe about your marriage, maybe with one of your children, maybe with a relationship, maybe with your finances, maybe with your health. You know, you're dealing with something, you're facing some problem, you don't know how to handle it, you're not sure what to do. But then the Spirit of God led you to do certain things, and as you did it, you were saved from some kind of harm, some kind of destruction, and you experienced peace and victory. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. But then later, maybe 6 months later, maybe a year later, maybe 4 years later, somebody was preaching the Word, or you were reading the Word for yourself, or reading somebody's book, and all of a sudden you saw a scripture that, and you go, that's exactly the way the Spirit of God led me in line. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know that scripture was in the Bible. I saw it, but I never understood it until this moment. But that's exactly the way the Spirit of God led me 6 months ago or 2 years ago. Well, the Spirit and the Word agree. And He knows all the Word. So the Holy Spirit, these early believers many times were being led by the Spirit, and He was just telling them to do what the Word said, even though they didn't have the written Word to take home like you do and like I do. Are you following me? Amen. Glory to God. Certain scriptures just lined up exactly with the way the Spirit led you to deal with that relationship problem you were having. Or, you know, you saw something about love you didn't even know was in the Bible. Or you saw something about forgiveness. Or you saw something about jealousy or something about envy. Glory to God. But the Spirit knew. And the Spirit knows the future. Amen. And He knows exactly what you and I need to do. He knows what we don't need to do. He knows how we need to invest, how we not need to invest. He knows everything. Glory to God. And He's ready and willing to reveal it to us in every situation so that we will avoid destruction. Are you listening? So yes, God can and will save us from all forms of destruction. And He has given us His Word. Thank God for that. I'll be thanking God for His Word for the rest of my life, for all eternity. It has totally, totally changed my life. But He's given us His Word. But and He has given us His Spirit, glory to God, to navigate us around and separate us from and deliver us from and help us overcome these things in the world that would destroy our peace or hurt us and steal our health. So I want to start a new series with you tonight. We're going to go on Wednesday nights, and we're going to take our time with this. But I'm simply calling it our dependence on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. In other words, when you're born again, you know the Spirit of God comes to dwell in every believer that's born again. Amen. But when you get filled with the Spirit of God comes on you for the purpose of power. Glory to God. But even though you can be born again and filled with the Spirit and not take advantage of these things if you're not aware of them and don't practice them and keep them in the forefront of your thinking. And so we're going to get into some things tonight that not everybody's ready to hear. You know, you can't teach trigonometry to kids that haven't learned to add and subtract yet. Wouldn't make any sense to them whatsoever. That's what, you know, Paul said at times, yeah, I want to say certain things to you, but you're not able to receive it yet. I'd like to get this across, but you're not ready for it yet. But I believe this Wednesday night group is ready for it. Amen. I know you are. Praise God. So our dependence, we're going to talk about our dependence on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about renewals of the Spirit. We're going to talk about walking in the Spirit, and we're going to talk about the ways of the Spirit. Now, getting back to the truth that we need the Spirit, not just the Word, to be delivered from things in this life that would try to destroy us or harm us. In other words, so that we can walk in victory. We believe in walking in victory. Amen. Yes, we face tests and trials, but we should and we can overcome them. Glory to God. Here's a pastor I read about. This pastor, he's a pastor, not an evangelist, but he's noted as being a strong man of faith. And he's noted for healing. Just in the church he pastored, just has healings all over his, just noted for being a man of faith, a great man of faith, as we say sometimes, and had many, many healings in his ministry. Well, he's traveling with his wife in the mountains, and they're going from one meeting to the other. You know, he has to get to the next meeting, and he said, I was in a hurry. And he said, we're traveling in the mountains, you know, mountainous roads, and it had been raining, and the roads were slick. And he said, all of a sudden, I went around a car, and there was already two or three cars piled up, you know, and he's going fast. And he said, I lost control, and I varied at a high rate of speed and slid into the car in front of him. Then two or three, four cars behind him slid into him. Amen. Well, you know, his car was demolished, destroyed. He later learned some things, many years later, because he learned some things, he gave this testimony. He said, Three different times as I was getting ready to go that morning, the Spirit of God on the inside of me, you know, just prompted me, led me, gave me an impression, just wait here a few minutes. Wait here 10 minutes. He specifically said 10. He said three different times. Just wait here. Wait here. Don't go right now. Just wait. But he said, you know, we were in a big hurry. We wanted to get out. We wanted to go. And he's a man of faith. So he just said, bless God. I believe God. The Lord will take care of us. And we're in a hurry anyway. And so he just took off. Let me give you some, in the realm of the Spirit, and this is probably good advice in the natural, but don't ever get in a hurry. Don't ever get in a hurry. You got to get in there and you got to pray for them right now. They're going to die in the next 10 minutes. Don't let the devil push you. Don't ever get in a hurry. Wait on God. Do what he tells you to do. Glory to God. So they took off. Didn't go very far. Got into those mountains and were involved in the accident. Now, in this accident, the woman in the car in front of them that this preacher's car hit, she was killed. His car was totally demolished and destroyed, and his wife was critically, critically injured. Somebody says, well, I thought God would save us from destruction. Well, just keep listening. And so the doctors even told him, he said, you know, because they took her by ambulance to the hospital, and he's going to pray for her. And they said, don't pray for her. If she comes out of it, she'll just be a vegetable. Just leave her alone. Even doctors sometimes realize that you can hold people here with your prayers. And so they're thinking, don't even do that. You know, if you get her to come out of this coma or whatever she's in, she's going to be dead. But that didn't let him stop him. He prayed for her, blessed God, believed God. She came to. She believed God with him. And within an hour, his wife was up, and they left the hospital, and they went on and traveled to where they were going. Within an hour. Now, this minister knew about faith. He knew about healing. Thank God for that. And he just didn't accept the bad report. Amen. And when something bad happened, he didn't sit around and whine and cry and bawl and squall and say, why God, why did this happen to me? No, glory to God. He just used his faith right in the middle of a bad situation. And she was raised up by the power of God. And they were able to continue on their trip in the very same day. Well, that's a tremendous testimony. Praise God. He believed God. But a whole lot of destruction would have been avoided if he would have followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? I said a whole lot of destruction would have been avoided if he had listened to the Holy Spirit and been aware of the Holy Spirit. He was aware. He just didn't obey him. And we've all done it, so we're not criticizing him. I think in our circles, I'm talking about people that know something about the power of God and about faith and about the Word, and thank God for that. I think in our circles, you know, people are able to overcome some bad situations where some destruction did occur that they could have avoided or missed by following the Spirit in the first place. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, they had some destruction, but glory to God, they thank God if you get knocked down, get back up. None of us are perfect. We're not going to stay down. We're going to get back up, and we're going to let God restore us and rebuild us and repair us and heal us and take care of our dumb financial decision and cause us to overcome. So thank God for that. That's what you should do. But at the same time, we ought to depend on the Holy Spirit. That's all I'm saying. Are you listening to me? In other words, after the fact, after the destruction, people use their faith to pick themselves up, to go on to victory, but they could have avoided a lot of hassle, a lot of trouble, a lot of destruction with the help of the Holy Spirit and by depending on the Spirit and listening to what He said to them. Glory to God. You know, I believe in victory. I've said that for, you know that. I got this years ago from thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. So don't think that you won't ever get thrown into the fiery furnace or face a test or trial. They were not thrown into the fiery furnace because they did something wrong. They got thrown into the fiery furnace because they did something right. Amen. But the Bible said, think about that. I mean, we just kind of, in one ear and out, the fire had no power over them. You know, you just get close to the fire and you know what kind of power it has. The fire had no power over them. So they came out of that fire. So they faced as difficult a test or trial as you can face. That's death. But they came out of that fire. Amen. That fiery furnace. And the Bible says they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. I grew up camping a lot, once a month at least. You get around a campfire, you stink. You smell like smoke. But they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. And the Bible says the king promoted them. And so here's where I got that. I said this many, many years ago and said it many times since. I said, that's victory with a capital V. Glory to God. Aren't you glad for that? So they didn't experience any destruction whatsoever. Hallelujah. Even though they faced this terrible ordeal, they came out. They went through it, but they went through it victoriously. Didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. The fire had no power over them, and the king promoted them. Same with Daniel in the lion's den. And we've all had testimonies like that. How many of you got many testimonies like that? Glory to God. Many, 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 many. All kinds of ways. But you probably also got testimonies like I do, where you were delivered from the fire, but you came out smoking a little bit. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That burned up about $2,000 it didn't need to burn up. You understand what I'm saying? That caused me some pain. Fire hurts. That caused me some misery. Yeah, I believe God and He healed it, but I did experience some destruction. Amen. Financially or physically or concerning our jobs or other areas. But we believe God got through it. God took care of us. But sometimes the destruction we did experience, sometimes, this isn't the only reason, but sometimes, everybody say sometimes. Sometimes it could have been avoided altogether had we heeded and followed the advice of the Spirit. The bottom line, we know we need to be word people. But the bottom line is that we all need to be people of the Word and the Spirit. When we started all those years ago, Cleveland Christian Fellowship, where the Word and the Spirit prevail. The Word needs to prevail in our life, but the Spirit needs to prevail in our life. Now, I'm going to remind you of some things from Kenneth E. Hagin's testimony about finances. And the financial part is really not what this message is about. But you listen, because we're going to, at the end, I'm going to show you something that'll, you probably heard part of this testimony, but I guarantee you, most of you never heard the last part of it, and it'll really be an eye-opener. And I don't mind this is about finances, because, you know, we talked about sowing and reaping, giving and receiving last Sunday morning we were here. Amen. And we're going to talk about that some more because we felt impressed by the Spirit of God to do that in this particular hour. So follow me. You know, way back in 1950, Brother Hagin began to talk to the Lord about his finances because he was struggling financially. You know, he had left his last church and went out on the field to obey God because God had called him to quit pastoring and get out on the field because God had a different plan for his life. That's very obvious today, you know. And so he left and got out on the field. The last church he pastored, they were extremely comfortable, lived in the best parsonage they ever had. The church was really good to them and took care of them. If they went to a special meeting or something, they might buy his wife a new dress and buy him a new suit and send him off in grand style and took care of him. But they got on the field, and he got before the Lord, and he said, Lord, you know, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He said, Lord, I'm not eating the good of the land. He said, we're not hardly eating the good of anything. He said, we're going behind. We're getting deeper and deeper in debt as I'm obeying you. And so the first thing the Lord said, well, you obeyed me, but you weren't willing. That scripture said, if you be willing and obedient, you were obedient, but you weren't willing. And so he said, I saw that. And he said, it took me about 3 seconds to get willing. Make that, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But then that's where the Lord told him. And you know, some of this testimony the Lord told him. He said, you understand when it comes to healing that healing belongs to you. So you just receive your healing. You just take your healing. Or you could say it this way. You just claim by faith your healing and you get up and declare to the world whether you feel good or not because you understand how faith really operates. You believed, you received, you claimed it by faith. So you've got it by faith and you get up and say, I am healed. He said, that's what you do with faith for healing. That's what you do with faith in other areas. But when it comes to finances, you don't practice what you preach. He said, Lord, you've hit me a low blow. You know me, I'm a stickler for the Word. He said, no, you don't. He said, you've got to do the same thing financially. You need to claim. You claim, you figure out how much you need per week, and you claim by faith what you need, and then you act like it's so, regardless of what it looks like. Practice what you preach. Further, he told him, tell the devil to take his hands off your money. Just like you'd tell the devil to take his hands off your body. And then he taught him some things about angels, and he said, you know, Hebrews says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heir of salvation? Who's the heir of salvation? You are. I am. He said, so you tell the ministering spirits, go, and cause the money to come in. Glory to God. So this is 1950. The first church he went to was a relatively small church, And you know, so he's not going to preach this right off. He's going to prove it out. Of course, you got to act on the word in faith. But he claimed $150 for the week. They asked him to come preach a week. Now, in the past, he had been to that church, and they gave him $114 for 2 weeks, and he said, you would have thought they hung the moon. I mean, that's the greatest thing they had ever done, that they gave him $114 for 2 weeks. So that's $57 a week, and he's claiming $157 a week, and he's claiming $150 a week. Further, you need to understand that, you know, it's hard to do this exactly because it's not just cost of living. There's a lot of other factors, but just using inflation and cost of living, $57 a week back then in today's economy is like $700 a week. And he's claiming $150 a week. So, that's five, six times that. You know, that's like $1,800 a week. Amen. And so this is a big deal. So you see, $57 to $150. So I said, well, that's not that much money. Well, it'd be like comparing $700 today to 2,000. That is a difference, isn't it? I said that is a difference, isn't it? That's a big, isn't 700 to 2,000 a big difference? Amen. So you get that. So he's claiming $150 a week. Glory to God. And then that church asked him to stay over to the next Wednesday night. So he upped it up to $200, because he's going to be there another few days. Amen. And then he told the pastor this. He said, look, pastor, because he said, when I was there before, he said the pastor would get up. And they didn't take up an offering for the guest speaker every night, but they did it several times during the week, you know, on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays or something like that, you know. And he said, every time the pastor got up to take up the offering for me, he said he spent at least 45 minutes. He said, just pulling on the people, begging the people, pleading with the people, and taking up pledges. You know, who'll give a quarter? Who'll give a dime? Well, you know, in 1950, a quarter was a whole lot different. It'd be like saying $5. You know, who'll give 10 cents? How many people? Can we get five people to give $1? He said he did that for a solid 45 minutes every time. And so he said, I told the pastor, he said, pastor, don't do that. He said, I'm believing God. All I want you to do is to get up and just say, we're taking up the offering. This is for Brother Hagin. Don't say a word and just pass the plate. And the pastor literally said to him, he said, you won't get a quarter. He said, you won't get a quarter for the whole week. And he said, pastor, if I don't get a quarter, I'll never complain. I won't say a word about it. I'll just praise God. Won't blame you in the bit. And that'll be between me and God. Not your responsibility. Just get up and pass the plate. And so that's what they did. Well, his offering for that week and a half was $240.15. And the pastor said, that beats anything I've ever seen. This church has never given any guest speaker anywhere near that. We've had some big name people in here and never given anything back like that. And the pastor couldn't understand it. And so he did that, you know, week after week after week, month after month for the next years, you know, claiming what he needed. I think just right after that, the next church he went to was a relatively small church. He's there for 3 weeks. And, you know, $150, well, that's $450. But he said at the end of those 3 weeks, he said, I received $750 plus a brand new set of tires for his cars. Amen. I've received brand new sets of tires for my car, and I've given brand new sets of tires away. That's a nice thing to do when you need a brand new set of tires. And that's a more expensive item, you know. It's, you know, that's a wonderful thing. Glory to God. And he said, you know, just church after church after church, the pastor would say, that just beats everything I've ever seen. We've never done anything like that. Matter of fact, he was at one particular church, and the pastor, you know, just wanting to be a help and a blessing, just kept pestering him, you know, like, how much do you need? What's your budget? He goes, well, I'm not going to tell you. If I told you, you wouldn't be able to handle it. He goes, no, tell me. And he wouldn't tell him. But he just went on day after day after day after day. And finally, he told the pastor what he was believing God for. And he said, the man literally fell off the chair he was in. He said, if Jesus himself came here and preached, he couldn't get that kind of money. But he did. It all came in. Now, he was at one church. Now, I think this was probably Brother Goodwin's church. because this is a friend of his and a man that did understand spiritual things and did understand faith, so he's hooked up with him. And so at the end of the week, they're counting the offering, you know, see how much came in. He's claimed his money, whatever it was that week, 150 or 200 or whatever. And, you know, you got to understand back then, you know, you just had a pile of money and you got nickels, you got dimes, you got quarters, you got, you know, dollar bills all crumpled together and you just pour them all out. And there's not all the stuff we do with the government like we do today and record it and all that. But you know, he said that the pastor gave me half the pile and he took half the pile and we're straightening it all out and we're counting it. He counted up his part and I counted up my part. And he said, we're $20 short, just $20 short. And he said, the pastor, because this pastor is a man of faith and a man of God, and he understands where Brother Hagin's come from. He said, let's count it again. So they counted it again. They counted it again. They were still $20 short. So the pastor said, let's count it again. And they swapped piles. See, this time you count this and I'll count you. They counted it all up, $20 short. So Brother Hagin sat there a second and he said, well, you know, if this don't work, I have to go back to every church I ever preach this in and say the word of God don't work. But then he thought, he said, wait a minute. See, he always, in those days, even though it's the early 1950s, he always carried a little book table with him. He had not written a book at that time. But on his book table, he'd sell Bibles and he'd sell, you know, other printed material, other people's books that meant something to him. He had a few of those items on his table. And he said, a lady back there came and bought a Bible cost $7.50. She said, she bought a Bible for me for $7.50. And I remember now, she said, I also, here's another envelope, you know, a separate envelope, not in that envelope, a separate envelope. It's for you in the ministry. I just didn't put it in the offering, but this is for the offering. This is for your ministry. So he looked in and he found that envelope and there was $25. So they got their $25 and $5 over. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, those are good testimonies, aren't they? I said, aren't they? Glory to God. Now. And this happened to him over and over and over again. And this was the beginning of the turnaround in his finances. You know, he's just in his young 30s in 1950, 32, 33 years old. Been in the ministry since he's raised off the deathbed at 17. And they'd always just struggle to just somehow make it and get along financially. But this was the beginning of his turnaround financially. And, you know, that's making good money for those days if you tally it all up. But later, you know, as life went on, he became an extremely blessed man financially. Can you say amen? Now, with that in mind, relative to what we're talking about tonight, with that in mind, because you know that, you get excited about that. That's exciting, isn't it? But in 1957, see, that happened in 1950. In 1957, he had a terrible, terrible, terrible financial year. You didn't know that, did you? Terrible. He went into debt and had to borrow money on several occasions. It was either borrow money or quit the ministry. He said he had four different life insurance policies that were paid up, and so he could borrow money against them. And he had to borrow money, and he said, every month I was losing hundreds of dollars. He said in May of 1956, that's 57. He said in May of 1956, he said the Holy Spirit, you know, on the inside, didn't speak to him in an audible voice, but he just has this impression, this leading. Sometimes it seems not audible, but it's very strong. Sometimes it's just an impression. But the Spirit of God told him, he said, there's a recession coming and you need to get ready for it. Well, do you know you can look up online, you can look up the recessions that this country's had? I mean, since they started keeping a record of these things. And if you look up recessions, you'll find out that it says there was a recession that started in August of 1957 and went to April of 1958. 57. See, and of course, as you're leading up to the recession, things aren't necessarily good. And then when it's officially over, it's not necessarily the greatest. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is in the middle of the year in 56. The Lord says you need to get ready. But Brother Hagin said, but I didn't listen. He said, about 2 months later, the Holy Spirit again warned him of this recession. Well, to be forewarned, it's to be forearmed. It's like in the Old Testament, you know, when he told him there'll be 7 years of overwhelming plenty, then there'll be 7 years of famine. And so for 7 years, they wisely saved up. And, you know, you remember that. Amen. Who was it? Joseph. Amen. And so, but he didn't do anything about it. Well, the recession hit. And he said every month, he said, we went into the hole hundreds of dollars every month. He said, and when things got bad, he said, I mean, we budgeted. You know, all of a sudden they had to begin to experience some blessing and some plenty. But he said, now we just budget everything because he's got people now, you know, more people involved in helping him and so forth. But now he said, we just cut everything to the bone so we could just barely get by. But we were still losing money every month. Amen. And he said, we had to borrow money several times just to make it. Now, all the while, he's going to churches and people are getting saved. People are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. People are getting healed by the power of God. Some great testimonies of people being delivered and healed. People set free. And he's anointed to preach, strong by the Spirit to teach and preach. But he just struggled in this financial area. This is after he'd had that experience. So in his own words, all right, he said, back in 1950, the Lord had dealt with me about prosperity and finances. Now, he didn't talk about any of that, but I reminded you of that for teaching purposes. He said, back in 1950, the Lord had dealt with me about prosperity and finances, and I had put all those laws in motion and made all my confessions. But during 1957, I just went the whole year the opposite way, deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. Well, early in 1958, we were still in a meeting in Texas, and one night a spirit of prayer, spirit of intercession, suddenly just fell on us. I had nearly finished my message. I didn't have to ask anyone to pray. Everyone just hit the floor. They either came down to the front around the altar or stayed at or near their seats. I was still standing at the pulpit and looked back across that church auditorium, and everyone was kneeling. No one was sitting on a pew. I knelt by a chair down on the platform and began to pray. I'm telling you, there was a real spirit of prayer present. And he said, we must have prayed anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes. Finally, I got up and I just sat down in a chair, on the auditorium. Some folks were still at the altar praying. Others had gotten up and were sitting on the pews. As I sat there on the chair, I was just singing in other tongues. Suddenly, right in front of me in plain sight, there stood Jesus. And he talked to me about several things. And the things he talked to him about, you've heard him testify about. He talked to me about several things, including my ministry. Then finally, he got down to his last subject. He began, now about your finances. I thought, ooh, glory to God. I'm glad you brought that up, Lord. He continued, you know that I spoke to you by my spirit, and I saw you weren't going to listen. So I spoke to you again by my spirit, but you still didn't listen. So I just left you alone. I left you alone financially this whole year. I said, it sure have been tough too, Lord. Then he began to tell me how he was going to turn my finances around. This is later in 57. He told me what would happen within the 3-month period, and it happened exactly as he said. I was so glad to get out of that financial mess and that financial bind. Well, as I said, now listen. God has given us His Spirit to make it possible for us to enjoy exemption from anything that would injure or destroy our peace, our health, or our well-being. Does that sound like, who redeems or saves your life from destruction? Well, if your life is going to be saved from destruction, you're going to have to know the Word. You're going to have to believe the Word. You're going to have to act on the Word. You're going to have to resist the devil. You're going to have to use your authority. But you're also going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit doesn't say anything to you, bless God, just go ahead and believe the Word and stand on the Word and go about your life happily, merrily. But should the Holy Spirit say something to you? Now, you can't obey the voice of the Spirit if you don't know the voice of the Spirit. That's why, folks, all the teaching on spirit, soul, and body, and being able to distinguish what's your body, what's your mind, what's your spirit, that's why all the teaching on the Holy Spirit, partially, that's why all these teaching on these different things, so that you can recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, and so that you can be aware of His voice. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. How could it be better for us for Jesus to go away? Because Jesus, in essence, is saying, if I'm here on the earth, I can walk over here with Peter and we can go that way, but if John's over there, I can't be with him. But he said, when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll live in Peter. God, the Holy Spirit, will live in Peter and walk in Peter, and he'll walk with John, and he'll walk with Doug, and he'll walk with Margaret, and he'll walk with Sherry. It doesn't matter where you go, I'll be with you everywhere you go to counsel you, to help you, to lead you, to guide you, to show you what you need, to teach you all things. and to bring all things to your remembrance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, that's better. That's better. We're everywhere with God Himself living on the inside of us. So Brother Higgins said it this way. It's possible for us to enjoy exemption from anything through the help of the Spirit that would injure us or destroy us or destroy our peace and health and well-being. We need to be instructed and reminded of the indwelling Spirit. Or that's why, in other words, we need to be reminded and instructing on the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, He wants to redeem our lives from destruction. He wants to save us from destruction. He wants to help us in every area of life. Brother Hagin again. But in order to consistently walk in the Spirit, we must learn to recognize and heed the Spirit's promptings. Can you say amen? Amen. And so this affects every area of our life. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for the Word. You know how we feel about the Word, but thank God for the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, I don't know about you, but sometimes people get filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues, and as the years go by, they don't even hardly speak in tongues anymore. Well, you're not going to be very aware of the Spirit of God if you don't pray in tongues. So I encourage you, as we conclude, I encourage you to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. Paul said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all. Does that sound like somebody that's against tongues? I thank my God, I pray in tongues. Now, I'm just not going to do it in the church. In the church, I'm going to speak words that people can understand. But in his own private prayer life, he obviously spent a lot of times praying in tongues. Amen. Makes you spirit aware. Helps you to be spirit conscious. Helps you pick up on those leadings of the Spirit. Because we live in this natural world where we're using our brains and using our minds. We should. Amen. But you've got to be able to listen to the Holy Ghost and connect to Him and follow His leadings and follow His teachings. And not just be mechanical about everything. Even when it comes, we talked a little bit about giving. Even when it comes to giving, there's a certain amount that I intend to give to every speaker that comes here. It's a good amount. But you know, we need it. But if the Spirit of God says, give five times that much, amen. Glory to God. Don't miss God. Anytime the Spirit of God tells you to do something that's kind of beyond your ability, financially I'm talking about, I don't mind that in the least, because if it really is God, there always seems to be a quick, miraculous, abundant turnaround and reaping of that seed that you sowed. Glory to God. You know what I mean by that? Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to go along these lines on some Wednesday nights here and see how the Lord leads us. But we need to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Thanks for being here with us tonight. We love you so much. Glory to God. Huh? I like your blue shoes. Come here, Miss Margaret. Come here. Come on, come on, come on, come here. Come up here. Come on, come on, come on. That really matches. Show them your blue shoes.
Don't step on my blue shoes.
She said, whatever you do, don't step on my blue shoes. Who knows who Imelda Marcos is? When Imelda Marcos, when her husband fell, you know that she had over 3,000 pair of shoes in her. Filipino people were starving, so she got criticized for her. Mark didn't have 3,000 pair, but she has 2,900. We'll start prayer in about 15 minutes if you can stay. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus. That's